This is Signal 337, the podcast for the innately curious and creative. Hey friends, this is Tim McKenna, and you are listening to another episode of Signal 337. So when I come downstairs every morning and I get my day set up and look at my email, look at my calendar, I look at my Jira board, and I look at my Todoist board, and whenever I have the opportunity to take anything that I have as a ticket or a line item and move it over to the done part of my Kanban board, I feel like a little victory every single time has happened. I'm definitely one of those like list nerds that like needs to make a list and be able to check it off so that I can say, hey, I've gotten this thing done. Otherwise, I just forget everything I'm supposed to be doing and I like languish and I have no idea what I'm supposed to be working on. So a list helps me in creating some sort of semblance of normalcy and order with my work. And when I look at my daily work, I've got a lot of tasks as being a manager and doing all the stuff that managers have to do for reporting and whatnot, and actually doing the work with my team members and helping them and creating clarity and removing obstacles. So there's the like the boring manager work, and then there's the fun manager work of working with my team. And then I have my own individual contributor work that I'm doing that is meant to help push more initiatives forward. And I'm working with my product and engineering counterparts. And that eats up a good portion of my day. That is the work that I do during the day. So that is great. And then outside of all of that, I've got my to-do list that has all my podcast episodes, and they're all in various stages of research and writing some basic scripts. Many times I just come up off the fly with some things, and I've got a lot of tasks and stuff around that as well. And the biggest priorities, and the most important one in my view, is my family. I've got my wife and my kiddos that mean the world to me, and their happiness, their support, like everything I can do to help them and be a loving family is paramount for me. So I've got my family, I've got my work, I've got my outside work hobbies-ish podcasts, and then I also have some friends that I'm not a complete shut-in, and we don't get to see each other all that much, but when we do, we'll talk about anything from like simulation theory, basketball, movies, and other dumb stuff, or hell, even more work and design stuff, because I have a very weird group of friends that we all talk about the same stuff. Regardless, all of this is meant to talk about is that we only have so much time during our days. We only have so many priorities that we can really prioritize so that we can do our things effectively. And I'm cool with the level of stuff that I've got to do right now in my life. I have a lot of responsibilities, but where I'm at right now is great. It's all manageable for me. And it took a long time for me to get to that mentality to be manageable, because in years past, I was very focused on like hyper growth, side hustle. In addition to having a full-time job, in addition to everything else, let me freelance so that I can, got to get that money, got to get that knowledge. And I wanted to be that entrepreneur that could be doing everything. And honestly, when I look back to the years past with the younger Tim that used to do all of that, I want to punch that Tim. I want to punch him right in the head and be like, man, stop it. You're destroying your health. What I want to talk about today, in less violent terms, is talking about freelancing. Give you a little bit of the history that I've done with it and reasons why you may want to or you may not want to do freelancing. So this came up from a conversation I had with one of my students from a few years back. She has been working full-time at a nonprofit in the area. She's also freelancing, you know, web design on the side, and she's also doing like an Etsy shop as like an actual other like legit side business. And oh, she's getting married soon. So we were just chatting on LinkedIn chat the other day, and she was telling me like how hard it is to find the time throughout the day to do all of these things. And I just point blank asked her, I'm like, why the hell are you doing all these things? What's the most important thing to you? And she ranked, like, oh, the nonprofit work, that's my main job. It's pretty cool, and I really enjoy it, and I get a lot out of it professionally and personally. I was like, okay, what about the Etsy stuff? She's like, oh, it's great. It's set it and forget it. I make my little tchotchkes. I forget what she actually makes. But she makes those and makes a whole bunch of them, and it's really, like, relaxing for her to make those things. And then she puts them on Etsy and she sells them, and she may do a little bit of customization for a name tag or something. I'm like, okay, cool. That's pretty easy. What about the freelancing? And she says, that's probably the hardest thing, is that I like doing the websites, but it's hard, like, getting information back from the client and having back and forth. And then they'll email me and call me throughout the day. And I'm like, okay, look, taking on too much. How much are you making from freelancing? And at the point in time, I think she made like $500 or something like that. I was like, well, how much do you make from Etsy? She says, oh, I probably bring in around $500 a month on that. And I was like, okay, how much do you make from your regular, like, job? And she told me her salary and everything. I was like, all right, cool. Why are you doing all these other things? Like, why are you freelancing? And she's like, I feel like it's going to help me get to the next phase of my career. And I'm like, can you be doing any of that work that you're freelancing at your job? And she's like, yeah, I guess I could, but I'm not going to get paid anymore with that. And student loans, they come and you got to pay them. I'm like, I'm totally aware of that. But she was literally working herself to death, doing 18, 19 hour days at some points. She was getting very little sleep. And as much as I really enjoyed talking with her and everything, she was just running on, like, empty, and she was looking like death, and she was just talking about the same stuff, and she was just overstressed, overburnt out, and super tired. And I was like, look, you need to slow down on the freelance stuff. Refocus your energy. What do you actually want to do? And she said, I want to become a really professional designer. I was like, all right. Try to focus opportunities at work where you can do that work, and try not to burn the candle at both ends for doing other client work at the end of the day from your regular job. And I can totally empathize with her on this, because I used to do the same thing. So back in college, I was a freelance photographer. This is back before iPhones and everyone was a freelance photographer. And I actually had a pretty good camera set up, and I was in Philly at the time, and I threw my name on a few community boards and a few art studios in the area, and I started getting some clients. A lot of it was a lot of people that wanted headshots for casting agencies, because there was Mike Lemon's casting in Philly, and they just needed a professional headshot. Others were for model work that they were doing for school. I remember a lot of fashion design students that did a lot of photography for. And then I had every once in a while, I used to have the pinup girl stuff that I used to do photo shoots for, that was weird and fun, but it just ended up mostly talking about music the whole time. These things paid pretty good at the time, and they didn't involve much work from me. Many times they would just take the raw photos, and then they would have someone touch them up. And every once in a while, they would ask me to do the touch up, and it wasn't much work. Like, it was, I could charge a premium for it, and it didn't take too much time out of my day, and I enjoyed it. And it was very natural, it was very easy. And that lulled me into this, like, false sense of security that, like, oh, freelancing must be easy. It must be like this all the time. Boy, was I wrong. So as I continued through college and working during the day, and mind you, I worked as a full-time designer, and I was going to school full-time, and I was doing freelance at this time too. Yeah, I didn't have much of a life, but I was able to get into this, like, sweet groove of everything where things worked out pretty well. So as I continued to grow in my career and grow my capabilities, I started offering other services, such as graphic design work and being able to provide branding solutions and marketing solutions to companies. And when I started offering more, that false sense of security of freelancing's easy, it went away real quick. I had a professor that told me that if you're really considering about freelancing, you must really love what you're doing to get you through all the hard times and all the bullshit. And I was like, what is the bullshit? What is that? He's like, if you think that you're just going to go into freelancing and just be doing branding and drawing logos all day, that's the sad truth of it is 90% of your job is going to be doing the business administration stuff. And I didn't really understand that. I was like, well, I've been freelancing as a photographer and stuff. He was like, yeah, but do you have contracts? I was like, no, I don't need a contract. Well, how do you know you're going to get paid what you're going to be asked for? I was like, oh, that's a good point. So as I started learning more about the business administration side, it became very apparent that dealing with other people, when they were requesting your services, you needed to protect yourself. So I started creating contracts and I started creating project management tools for myself so that I could keep myself on track. And I quickly learned that most of my day freelancing was doing the business administration stuff, sending out proposals, writing up contracts, getting payments and hunting down payments and sending the invoices out and getting check-ins with clients. And it was difficult. It was just a lot of my day. And a lot of what I ended up doing was just going back and forth with clients. And very little of it was actually doing any sort of logo work and any sort of creative work. But I was hungry and I was young and I was stupid and I was trying to figure out how can I make a lot of money on the side doing what I know how to do really well while I also have a full-time job doing almost the same thing. So when I moved back to Central Pennsylvania, I was working for a number of organizations and I always have freelance doing branding and marketing and design work for home improvement companies. That was my niche because I knew it really well. So I went to Home Builder Show and I went to a lot of different trade shows and whatnot. And some of them are big corporations and some of them are small businesses. So I was able to get somewhat of a clientele going on, but it was difficult. It was very difficult to explain the value of what I do and why this matters and why you should pay me over your 12-year-old cousin who's got a pirated version of Photoshop doing all this work. It was difficult. And then as I continued to grow my knowledge and knowing how to do web development and web design, I was like, ooh, I can make this easier. I can do websites. I knew how to make some simple one-page or several-page sites. And then when I learned WordPress, I was really going whole hog into it and being like, I can be your full-service creative guy. I can do your branding. I can do your marketing. I can do all your graphic design work. I can do your print work. I can do your website work. I can do your managing of your content management system. I could do everything. And that opened up the floodgates of like, cool, I'm going to pay you this amount, and I need you to be on call for every little issue. I can't log into my website. Make sure you're using the right email. I opened myself up and did not protect myself one bit. And it slowly started happening that having clients call me at work, my boss is getting pissed off, and I wasn't doing the work that I was supposed to during my day job. I wasn't ever doing freelance at my work, but when you're getting calls from your freelance clients at work, your bosses don't really like that. And I can see why. So I ended up just burning myself out. I was working those 18, 19 hour days myself, and it was just too much. My health took a nosedive. I looked like the Crypt Keeper. I had really splotchy beard and I was eating very poorly. And I looked like a typical like neckbeard creepo that just was just horrible. Like my health was terrible and it looked like it too. And I had next to no sleep and I was always about that. Let's get new gigs, next new gigs. And it wasn't until I was starting to have some like real serious health issues that I was like, oh, maybe I need to start rethinking my approach here. So I started scaling back some of my freelance and I moved more into very select clientele, only big projects, something that I could spend more time and have a lot more structure around how I would do it. The last big project I did was 3 years ago. I did it for a healthcare technology company. They needed a new website, which was a hodgepodge of different WordPress things with it. And I was rebuilding their theme. Unfortunately, it became a lot more of a big project. There was scope creep really came in and I was learning how to integrate a lot of their other systems into their WordPress site. And needless to say, the project that I scoped out ended up being a lot larger than what I initially thought. And that was it. After that project, that was done. One of the most horrible portions of that was that when my wife and I went to the hospital for our firstborn, when he was, about ready to be born, we were in the hospital. My wife was not in delivery yet. We were just chilling out and I was still on my computer writing code. And she looked at me being like, what the hell are you doing? put my computer away. And for the next couple of months after my son was born, I was still wrapping up this project. And by the time I finally got it done, I said, no more freelancing. I had to really make a choice. What was important to me? Was trying to scrounge up and getting more clients and potentially being able to invoice for more money, was that more important? In my mind, I thought, yes, more money is equal to being able to save more and put more to my, you know, my kids' time. But the expense of always being tired, never being able to see my kids, always being at my computer, destroying my own health, what was the real benefit? So I stopped freelancing, and for me, it's been the best choice, because I now focus much more of my energy, much more of my efficient energy, at growing my career and focusing on education, focusing on areas where I can improve myself, that I can show that at my day job and find ways to move up in the career ladder that way. Because then the goals are still the same, be able to make more money so I can provide more for my family. But instead of having to spread it out across several different like side hustles in my main job and being terrible at each of them, I'm going to be really good at my one job and be really good there. That was my experience. That was my experience. And while I could say I was quote unquote successful, that I was able to successfully do this work and successfully bill and successfully get paid, I was also successfully a zombie. I had no real time. And talking with other freelancers, whenever we ever tore ourselves away from the work, this is all we ever talked about. It was like PTSD, because this is all we ever, you know, thought about. And we were having the 1,000-yard stare of thinking, oh crap, when we get home, we got to start, you know, invoicing our customers and trying to market our work out. And it was tough, and it was very cutthroat, and I just didn't like doing it. And the romantic concept that I've had around freelancing, being able to go and get up at noon and work in my pajamas and have my desk at home and be my own boss, that was a very romantic and immature mentality to have, because that's what a lot of people think for some reason. I don't know if it's because of movies or whatever, but being your own boss. You know what? Being your own boss, you're also your own shitty employee, because you got to fight yourself on freelancing. You got to fight yourself on everything. It's real easy for you to say, I'll just get up tomorrow at 10 or 11 or noon because I want to go out tonight and I want to be able to enjoy myself. If you were a boss and you actually had an employee who were saying that, you'd be like, fuck no, man, you're getting in here at 7 o'clock. You got to work. Being your own boss is also having your own terrible employee, which is yourself. And you got to trade off. Should you work that extra 20 minutes at night? Extra 40 minutes, extra hour and a half, extra 2 hours after your day job? It will help you, but you're going to be tired. Or do you put it off and maybe do it later and then wait for the dreaded email from the client who's, hey man, you said you're going to get this to me this day and I don't see it. Where is it? So there was always those trade-offs, and I actually got anxiety when I was doing freelance work. I was having a lot of anxiety about answering emails from clients all the time, and it was tough. So having your own freedom to create your own calendar, you've got to be incredibly focused and disciplined, and honestly, probably more so than being an actual employee. The other romantic notions around being able to stroll out of your bed, go downstairs into your office, wherever you're sitting at. You don't have to go to an actual office. Just sit down, blast some music, and start working. As a lot of companies have recently found out through the pandemic, being able to work from home is not that terribly crazy of an idea. And having a flexible schedule is not that terribly crazy of an idea. And all those romantic notions I had of being a freelancer, I have that now working from home. I have my own office at home. I have a dedicated place. I've got my own desk. I can't come downstairs at noon and be like, this is what time I'm starting. But I have that flexibility of when I start. I can take my kids into daycare in the morning, and I have the flexibility throughout the day. If I need to go take my dog for a quick walk around the block, I can. So I don't have to worry about that so much. And if that was a driving force for me to become a freelancer, I have it now. And now that I'm spending more time growing my own acumen, my knowledge, and my skill set that I can apply to my direct job, and it allows me to create opportunities for me to grow instead of trying to go outside of that, to quote a Ron Swanson-ism, I am not half-assing two things, I'm whole-assing one thing. I'm not being shitty at multiple things, I'm really going in whole hog on one. And I'm really focusing on my career and my job during the day and seeing how I can learn new things that is going to help me be good at that job. And that way I can express those things and find opportunities to showcase my knowledge and my capabilities so that I can move up. And I get that eventual goal that I was looking for with freelancing was to make more money, to have more responsibility, and be able to be more effective in my career so that I can bring more of that home and have support for my family. That's the end goal. That was my end goal. And I think for a lot of freelancers, that is something that's very attractive for them, is being able to have the time and the ability to create their own schedule to make the money that they feel is appropriate for them so they can do the work that they like. You can do all those things with a regular job as well. It's about being creative about it and being able to figure out what you really want from your career. Now, if you don't have that opportunity at your regular day job, cool. You might want to start looking at other places for you to go into. And then being in that constant cycle of trying to find clients goes away, and now you can be very choosy about where you want to go and work at. Now, I'm not saying going and working for an employer all the time is peaches and candy and all the other stuff. It can be tough. I think we've all learned that the employee-employer relationship can be tough, and that's why you really want to be very considerate and really discerning about places you go and apply and work at. But you don't have to deal with all the business stuff. You can be focusing on the creative work, or whatever work that you want to do. All of this goes into some things that you might want to consider if you're going to freelance. What you need to consider. Whenever you're looking to protect yourself, being a freelancer, you need to look at a couple of things. One, the business end of the tax liability. Just because you charge a certain hourly rate or a certain project rate and you quote a certain price, doesn't mean you get to bank all that money and you don't got to pay Uncle Sam. I know this is from a U.S. perspective, so I'm not entirely sure how this all works in the EU or other countries. I understand with the EU, value-added tax, VAT, I'm not entirely sure of this. So this is a very American perspective on here, but if you're making X amount of dollars, you're going to be taking 30% of that and putting that away for taxes, just right off the bat for federal stuff. And then you got to look at your health insurance. So you have to be able to look at, do you have health insurance? Because in the United States, it's mandated, and you got to pay for that out of pocket. So talking with an accountant and talking with a lawyer for two reasons. One, you want to make sure that you're doing everything above the board correct to keep your business, your side hustle afloat. Because let's really be honest what you're doing. You're a business owner. You're having your own small business. It's super small. It's just you. It could be just you. But the minute you start like farming some of this stuff out, you're having contractors, you might be having an employee, like you're a business. So even if it's just you, you're a solopreneur, you are a business. So you need to talk to an accountant and you want to get the lay of the land of like how you're going to best protect yourself, how you're going to be able to pay everything you need to. And you really need to figure out like how much money do you need to be making so that you can live. And I'm not talking live comfortably. I'm talking bare bone basics. Start from there and then build up. So you need to look at all of your expenses. You need to look at how much things cost and then figure out from there how you're going to be able to, like how much hours you're going to have to work, what your hourly rate's going to be. So talking with an accountant will be enlightening in that regard. The other thing you want to talk to is a lawyer. You want to talk to a lawyer to understand how to protect yourself, because working with clients, working with people in general, can be amazing and frustrating. Not everyone understands your process. Not everyone understands the work that you do. If they did, they wouldn't need to hire you. However, they're not going to care about your choice of pinks for this illustration, or they're not going to care about how you spent all night coding this thing to make it work. They just want it to work. So talking to a lawyer on how to set up your business, how to set up yourself to protect yourself, because all you need is one bad interaction for a lawsuit to be filed against you, and all of your assets, your own personal assets, could be on the chopping block. And I've seen it many times with freelancers who haven't set up the particular business entity that they need to protect themselves. It's not hard to set up a corporation and then separate your assets from the business's assets. That protects you. And having it set up so that the business makes money, then you get to draw a salary from that, that is one way to really protect yourself. And that might sound like, oh, it's too much. I'm not trying to do that. I'm just trying to do simple things. Well, then you really need to talk to a lawyer about creating terms and conditions, licenses, agreements, so that you protect yourself and make sure that you don't get lawsuits that are going to be levied against you that could take away your car, that could take away your house, that could take away everything. Those are two very important people to talk to. And then lastly, one resource I would highly recommend, and I'm not sponsored by these folks, I've just used them a lot in the past when I was learning how to become a successful freelancer, was the Freelancers Union. They've been around for a long time, I believe 20 years now at this point, it could be longer, but it's basically a community for freelancers. And they're a industry voice trying to make sure that freelancers are protected under certain laws and regulations. It's international. And there's a lot of resources that that organization puts together to help freelancers, to help protect them from clients taking advantage of them, helps them understand how to do the business portions. And that's a great community. I still get emails from them every once in a while, and I still look at the different things that are happening to protect freelancers from abuse and taking advantage of. But they're a great organization. I would highly recommend the Freelancers Union as a great place to learn from other freelancers how to do your work well. Now, all this also depends on the type of freelancing that you're doing. You could be doing web design, you could be doing very custom stuff where you're creating custom solutions, or you could be creating like something completely different. Like you'd be creating a shop where you're selling t-shirts or selling your illustrations on different tchotchkes and whatnot. That's cool too. You have to be considerate of like how to market that things and like how you're going to take those payments. And you might look at sites like Society6 and Redbubble where you have your illustrations and your designs and they do that work for you. And basically you've come into a partnership with them to create the platform and you sell on their platform. A little bit easier, but still you're getting a cut taken out of your stuff because you're using their service. That might be something to consider. My friend who did the work on Etsy, she was able to create these little tchotchkes of hers that was just fun for her. And she's like, I can start to sell these. But she never made that into the job that like when she was creating them that she actually was like, oh, I got to create 10 of these tonight. She just loved doing them on her own. She found it as a way to create some passive income. And she was going to make them whether or not she was going to sell them or not. So cool. But you got to think about that. And no matter what type of work you're doing, whether it's design or development related, whether it's writing, whether it's content, whether it's film, whatever, you have to make sure that you love it enough that even through the hard times, you're going to be able to see through it and you be very passionate about it to continue to do it. Otherwise, you're going to get burnt out, overstressed, your health is going to go to shit, and you're going to just be tapped out mentally. Think about what's most important to you. Possible financial freedom, your health. What ways can you get there? It's more than just looking at, I got a side hustle and go into that hustle culture for everything. I was doing this stuff a long time before Gary Vaynerchuk, and it burnt me out. And then when I heard other people getting into like side hustles and whatnot and calling it that, I was like, that's cool, more power to them. But for me, I know that it was very tough to have that mental acuity, that energy to be able to do all of those things. And now I'm at a point in my life where I like what I'm doing. I'm doing it very well. And I have more time to spend with my family. And that is the name of the game for me. But you may have different motivations. You may have different experiences. And I'd love to hear your thoughts, your experiences. If you freelanced in the past, if you freelance now, how are you doing this? How are you finding it? How are you managing your time? How are you finding it to be helpful for your situation? Do you love it? Do you hate it? Do you wish you never did it? Do you wish you went back to an employer? Are you an employer? Did you make the move from being a solopreneur to an actual small business owner where you have employees? I'd love to hear your thoughts and experiences on this and have the conversation on LinkedIn and Twitter. So, With all of that, as always, this podcast is always just my experiences and my observations on life and the industry. So it is not indicative of any past companies that I've worked at or any current companies that I work at. And also, everything that I talk in here, they're not endorsements. These companies that I mentioned, these people that I mentioned, they're not endorsements. I'm not sponsored. This is just things I happen to have used and liked that I know is great. With all of that, I really appreciate everyone listening to these episodes. I really enjoy getting to hear the feedback, and I hope everyone is staying safe and take care.